Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we take a look at the Yellow Ribbon Recognition Program, and we explore the Million Veteran Program with Dr. Scott Sponheim of the Minneapolis VA. But first, let's take a moment to remember one of Minnesota's own fallen heroes. Matthew Harmon of Bagley, Minnesota, attended Fauston High School, where he joined the Minnesota National Guard as a senior in 1999. After serving 5 years with the Guard, he joined the active Army, deploying to Iraq twice and finally to Afghanistan. Sergeant Matthew Harmon was killed last Sunday in an explosion in Pateka Province. He will be missed, but not forgotten. And now it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The 148th Fighter Wing, located in Duluth, Minnesota, and affectionately known as the Bulldogs, is a premier Air National Guard fighter wing. Recently, they have gone through a major transition and are now flying among the most capable fighter jet in the United States Air Force inventory, the F-16 Fighting Falcon with the advanced Block 50 engine. This transition occurred for a number of reasons. Pivotal support from the community, backing from local, state, and national representatives, and the reliable, superior performance from the airmen of the 148th Fighter Wing. In fact, the 148th Fighter Wing is working with the military, federal, and local officials on a new initiative to attain an active association. This designation assigns active duty Air Force personnel to National Guard bases. It would enable active duty airmen to work side by side with National Guard airmen and learn from their experience and expertise. An active association at the 148th Air Wing would provide excellent training opportunities for the active duty force and supports our national goal of reducing military spending. General Craig McKinley, Chief of the National Guard Bureau, stopped by recently to visit the Bulldogs. He stated the reason the unit is flying the premier F-16 is because, and I quote, "From the time that the Air National Guard started flying out of the Duluth Airport, it has enjoyed a long-standing tradition of excellence. This unit didn't get its history by sitting idly by and watching time go by. It made its own history." I agree with General McKinley's statement. The Bulldogs have made history and will continue to do so because of their insistence upon excellence.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, Major Aaron Krenz joins us. He is Chief of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and Deployment Cycle Support for the Minnesota National Guard. Major Krenz, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thanks. It's good to be here.
Major, I understand you've been in the Minnesota National Guard for 20 years. Can you tell us a little bit about your career?
Sure. I enlisted in the Minnesota National Guard back in 1991 as a cannon crew member out of Ortonville, Minnesota, and grew up in that unit for about 6 years, and then decided it was time to look at a new challenge. Went through the Officer Candidate School program out of Camp Ripley, Minnesota, was commissioned, and continued on within the field artillery community in the 1st of the 151st Field Artillery as a fire direction officer, platoon leader, and commander. And was fortunate enough to command a company of soldiers in Baghdad, Iraq, back in 2004 and 2005. And just a significant moment in my life as far as in the military to be able to lead such proud young men in combat.
And then, Major, I understand you were deployed once again.
Yes, I also deployed with the 34th Infantry Division as their targeting officer to in Basra, Iraq. And significantly different mission from the first time I went. Very challenging, and but it was an overall success, and I believe we as an entire team and division accomplished our mission.
Major, I would guess that those two deployments in your 20 years of service prepared you pretty well to become Chief of Deployment Cycle Support and the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program.
Well, I certainly think it had an impact. I don't know that you fully can train or prepare to take over such a unique and dynamic organization as the Deployment Cycle Support Team. But I do know that through the teams and the units that I've been in, team building, looking at individual circumstances, and working with families and the communities has certainly helped in that preparation.
And certainly by being deployed yourself, you understand what it's like to be there and what type of support was what would be wanted and necessary.
Certainly deploying gave me a good perspective on the service member side, but also seeing the struggles, challenges, and successes that my my wife Monica and my two little girls, Ellie and Caitlin, had during my deployments, and the contrast between the first and second one was an eye-opener for me.
We're speaking with Major Aaron Krenz, the Chief of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk, AM 1130. Major, can you tell us about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program and how it got started?
You bet. Back in 2005, back when Major General Larry Shelato was the Adjutant General, as a Vietnam veteran himself, he had a vision that he didn't want service members under his command to return back to their homes and communities under the circumstances that he experienced coming back from Vietnam. Having said that, he essentially commissioned Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel John Morris to be the architect of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, which essentially was event-based, looking at the events and the circumstances that service members and families experienced during deployment, and then bringing them back after 30 days and 60 days and 90 days to really take a look, ensure that leaders are able to look their soldiers in the eyes, and then give them the access to the resources that they may need to successfully reintegrate back home.
So when it first started, it was a reintegration program for the soldiers and the families?
That's correct.
And it's grown into something quite more than that, hasn't it?
It has, you know, and we know that there's been wonderful support throughout the state of Minnesota and surrounding communities. Now we're looking at just synchronizing and ensuring that there's a sustainable yellow ribbon effort of support for our service members and military families.
Major, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I hope we can talk a little bit more about how the Yellow Ribbon program has expanded and grown and how it's helping take care of the families while the soldiers and airmen are deployed overseas. We'll continue our conversation with Major Aaron Krenz after a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking with Major Aaron Krenz, the Chief of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon for the Minnesota National Guard. Major, we've been talking about how the Yellow Ribbon program started, and it started out as basically a reintegration program for the soldiers and airmen returning from deployments and for their families. But it's grown into something much more. Now it involves cities and counties and companies. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, it really has expanded. And I will tell you that the energy behind the support for military members and families has really always been there. We have seen unbelievable support through our communities, both the communities that host an armory or air base and those that surround those cities. What we really are trying to do is to synchronize their efforts to address the needs that our service members and their families have. And in order to do that, we had to take a look at and survey our service members and families. And we did that last February. And we found out that there was certain things that they were really needing. And so we are looking at focusing community efforts towards those needs to really make sure that they can support the service members and their families in the way that they have requested. And it has really been successful. I will say that Annette Kuiper, who's our director of military outreach, has been the spearhead of initiating this effort through our communities, through kickoff events, and our Yellow Ribbon outreach coordinators that have helped synchronize community leaders, public safety officials, and education officials to come together and really take a hard look at some of the issues that address our family members, their children, and our service members. And it really has been amazing. You know, so far we're looking at 68 entities throughout Minnesota, and that could be a community, city, a company that have been formally recognized by the governor of Minnesota and the adjutant general for going above and beyond and creating an action plan on what they are committed to doing to support our service members and their families. And it really has been extraordinary.
So these communities, and of course, we've declared or proclaimed a number of them since 2008 when Farmington was first proclaimed, but they get together and organize and put together committees to help support the families of the troops when they're deployed and even when they come back. And they do things like mowing the lawn and shoveling the snow and babysitting and all kinds of things like that to help those families of the deployed service members, correct?
Absolutely. An example is, you know, we have soldiers that are downrange right now, and we have communities that want to support and build care packages, and all that is just wonderful. But if we have family members that are down the block, down the road in rural areas that are really struggling, we would rather that community help support them versus send packages overseas.
And, of course, most of the people that think about supporting the troops, they want to go send something overseas. But we've asked this question before. When you ask a deployed service member, what can I do to help? The number one answer is they come back and they say, help take care of my families, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, this isn't just the community doesn't care what uniform we're wearing or what the branch of a military family is. It could be Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. It doesn't matter. The community just wants to support.
Major, you've got some Yellow Ribbon Summits coming up. Can you tell us what happens there?
Well, yeah, Yellow Ribbon Summit or Proclamation Ceremony is where we have taken a community through the 16-step process to formulate a action plan to really support those military families throughout the deployment cycle. We've got several communities being recognized on the 23rd as well as the 31st of August, and it's just really exciting to see those communities be recognized for their hard work and commitment and really the sustaining effort that they have chosen to provide to our service members and military families.
So at those summits, the governor and the adjutant general will be there to proclaim those communities, those organizations, as Yellow Ribbon.
Yes, sir.
Major, I understand you've got some new initiatives coming up as well.
Yes, you know, deployment cycle support is, as we mentioned before, we've expanded. We have a family programs section that focuses on training our family readiness groups. We provide support in the form of youth camps to our military children, and overall trying to connect family members better with their unit commanders to ensure that those needs are being met, as well as looking at the issues and emerging needs of service members and families so we can take a look and try to get at those before they become a major issue.
And Major, when our soldiers and airmen return from deployments, a lot of them are interested in going to school or finding employment. Is that right?
That's correct. You know, unemployment is a real challenge across the country, but significantly for our returning veterans. And we're going to take a look hard at not only the currently serving overseas service members, but those that are right here actively drilling in the state of Minnesota, and what their employment status is, and try to link their needs, their aspirations and goals to companies, employers that want to hire veterans.
And you're working closely with DEED and MNSCU to help with these things.
Absolutely, and among other state agencies. This is a collective effort. This is we certainly are a customer, but we need to ensure that we help support the companies and communities that are willing to employ our service members.
Major, we're just about out of time. Do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
Certainly. I just want to say thank you to all the communities and volunteers out there for their unbelievable support in the Yellow Ribbon effort. And certainly, if there's any questions or concerns, we would love to hear from you. We always are looking to get better and improve. And If I could encourage everyone to go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org for any questions regarding education, employment, any events or benefits that they might be wondering about.
Major Krenz, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That was Major Aaron Krenz, the chief of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon and Deployment Cycle Support for the Minnesota National Guard. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or family. Crystal Cheney from Central Minnesota has her hands full with a newborn son at home and a deployed husband. Her neighbors Phil and Carla step up weekly by ensuring her lawn is cut. Crystal doesn't even get the chance to lace up her shoes before she notices Phil clipping away. Phil tells her, "This is our way of serving you. You and your husband sacrificed so much, and this is our way of repaying you." Cammy Daly from Western Minnesota is fortunate to have her neighbors Brad and Julie help out, not only with her lawn, but child care too. Cammy's husband, who is currently serving in Kuwait, is grateful that they have such supportive neighbors. He is able to focus on his mission, and he knows his family is receiving help on the home front. Across the state, neighbors are supporting military families while their service member is deployed. Thank you, Minnesota neighbors, for showcasing how Minnesotans strive to go beyond the yellow ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring our service members all the way home. To learn how you can make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at the Million Veteran Program with Dr. Scott Sponheim. That's right here on News Talk, AM 1130. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelledow.
Several weeks ago, I had the chance to tell you about the great work our county veteran service officers are doing across Minnesota. Today, I'd like to single out Lori Brooks and highlight a special program she launched in the Detroit Lakes area. Veterans can find themselves in tough situations, sometimes directly due to the stresses of combat. This spans veterans who have recently separated to those who fought in World War II. When a veteran needs a hands up to get back on their feet, we always start with the essentials of food, shelter, and clothing. Lori has localized and adapted a nationwide program that fills one of those key areas. Angel Food Ministries is a nonprofit, non-denominational organization dedicated to providing food relief and financial support to communities throughout the United States. The organization buys food from suppliers at substantial volume discounts. Locally, it assists veterans who need to stretch their food dollar. Thank you, Lori, for your innovative thinking and heart for helping. If you know a veteran in need or would like to volunteer or make a donation, contact us at 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelledow. You can find out more about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, Dr. Scott Sponheim joins us. He is a staff psychologist from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Sponheim, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Pleased to be here.
Doctor, can you give me a little background about your career? How long have you been in practice, and how did you get involved with the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
Yeah, I completed my training there as a doctoral intern. And then shortly after that, began working. And it's almost too many years ago that I want to mention, but it's about 20 years ago that I started at the VA, and it's been a very good place for me to work.
20 years is just a short period of time, Doctor.
Oh, okay.
I'll attest to that.
I'll keep that in mind.
Can you tell us what is the Million Veteran Program?
Yeah, it's an ambitious program launched centrally by the VA, and it involves 50 sites. And the goal of this program is to basically use genetic information to improve the health and welfare of veterans. And so predominantly the emphasis is to collect blood samples from a large number of veterans to understand how genetic variation predicts health conditions.
So by collecting up these blood samples and relating it to the conditions of the veterans, you're able to draw some conclusions? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, that's the overall goal. Now, the number of veterans, as you might be able to guess from the name of the program, is 1 million that we're shooting for across the nation. And at the Minneapolis site, we're shooting for 20,000 over the next 5 years. So that type of information that I referred to in terms of specific information about health conditions from genes is not going to be coming right away. It's a long-term project, but it's still nonetheless very important to pursue because it's really taking advantage of the new knowledge we have about the human genome.
So this is a research program that you hope will involve 20,000 veterans at the Minneapolis VA?
Indeed, we're planning on it.
And what period of time will this research be going on over, Doctor?
Well, we're currently studying people, and we started a couple months ago, and it's going to extend for another 5 years.
So you're comparing the physical condition of the veterans today with the blood samples and the blood work that you're doing to try to see if there's some correlation?
Yes, exactly. And this is going to be a database, so it's just not going to be relevant for the next 5 years. It's going to be relevant for decades from now. So it's going to be a huge resource that we're hoping that the veterans will help provide to us.
So do you have any thoughts, what do you hope to find out? What do you think you might find out?
Yeah, I mean, one way to think about this is that any health condition that impacts veterans is something that could be studied from a genetic perspective, particularly any kind of health condition that runs in families. You know, so that could be various types of cancers and various types of mental disorders. It could be a variety of things. And so whenever something kind of runs in a family or is heritable, it usually relates to genes. And so this project will help identify actually what parts of the genome relate to that condition. And once you have that, you got the beginnings of clues about mechanisms or causes, very, very specific causes of these conditions. So one thing that's going to be really nice about this project in the long run is that we're not going to be able to, and we're going to go beyond just general characterizations of people in terms of their health conditions, saying, oh, here's a guy with bladder cancer, what should we do, you know. Instead, it's going to be, this is a guy with bladder cancer, but he has this genetic makeup, and based on this genetic makeup, we know from our research that this type of intervention is going to be most effective for this individual. So it really allows us to get ready to personalize the care for veterans.
We're speaking with Dr. Scott Spienheim, a staff psychologist for the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk AM 1130. Doctor, as it says, 1 million veteran program, you're hoping to study 1 million veterans across the United States, I would assume. Will the results of this study should not only help veterans, but it should help the general population, shouldn't it?
Indeed, yes. The veteran population is unique, first because they're a very giving population, and they've already served the country in many ways. But they're just, you know, veterans in general seem inclined to serve and give. And so in many ways, they're a kind of a perfect population to assist the general public in this way again, another point of service here in terms of this research project. But yeah, so many of the conditions that affect veterans are shared by the general population. So once again, this is a way that veterans will give to the whole, you know, population of the U.S. in many ways.
So, Doctor, I'm sure the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, healthcare center system, services a lot of veterans in Minnesota. How are you reaching out to those veterans to have them volunteer? Are they volunteers for this?
Indeed, it's completely voluntary. So we're working with the PR officer at the Minneapolis VA. We also have posters up. We also are, you know, I'm on this radio show today, which is wonderful. And then we've had a couple other PR pieces, one in the Star Tribune, which has helped some. So we're kind of new at this, but, you know, we're trying to do our best to get the word out and to invite as many veterans as possible into the program.
So for those veterans that are listening that go out to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, if they want to participate, what do they do?
Probably the best way is to call a central number, because the participation is scheduled centrally, and that number is 1-866-441-6075. There's also a web page for the program, It's the research webpage for the VA, and it's research.va.gov. And then you can just go to the MVP link at the bottom of the page.
And for those veterans that sign up, what can they expect as far as their participation? What do they need to do, and how long are they involved?
Yeah, the initial assessment is actually quite brief. There's just some health forms that they fill out, and then a blood sample is taken, and that's, you know, that's the DNA and the genetic characterization that will base it on that specimen. And then they also agree to give research staff access to their electronic medical record in the VA system. And it's that electronic medical record that is going to be the most valuable for this project nationally, because it's the same record across the nation. And so when we get, you know, 1 million veterans in this study nationally, we'll be able to pull information from that medical record and, as you pointed out, look at how it's associated with different aspects of the genes.
So you're pulling together it's going to be a huge database, 1 million veterans.
Indeed.
And then the blood tests and what kind of medical condition they have and what they're suffering from and so forth. It sounds like a massive undertaking to me, Doctor.
It is. And fortunately, I'm just a site PI, so I'm not responsible for 1 million people, just 20,000. And so this is run by a very capable group of people nationally in D.C., and they're very accustomed to running large, large studies. This is a step up in terms of the size of a study, but they're very accustomed to running studies across multiple sites in the VA. And right now there's 25 sites on the MVP program collecting data, and the goal is to have another 25, so a total of 50 in the near future.
And are you going to work on this, on the 20,000 from Minnesota?
Correct.
Minneapolis V8. Are you going to work on that as a subset and try to see if there's anything unusual here as opposed to the rest of the country?
We plan to work on the subset of data. Whether there's anything unusual, I mean, there may be some specific conditions to this population. One interesting thing about genetics is that the genes that influence conditions oftentimes vary based on ancestry. And so you think about Minnesota, you know, there's
welcome back
a lot
to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Type of ancestry.
Today we're talking with Dr. Scott Sponheim,
certain types of
a staff psychologist from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Minnesota. I will continue with our conversation with Dr. Scott Sponheim after this short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on Newstalk AM 1130. Who started it and who'd you have to sell it to get started?
Yeah, so it began a number of years ago in Washington, D.C. Tim O'Leary, who's a research administrator in the VA, was a big proponent of this effort early on, and he really was the vanguard for this program, and I think he was really quite influential in getting the secretary on board, Mr. Shinseki, and that really got the ball rolling in terms of the overall project.
Doctor, now I know you're going to gather data from 1 million veterans
mm-hmm.
on their blood and their genes and their condition and so forth. Were there expectations? What are you expecting to find? What are you going to do with the data once you get it?
Yeah, we're expecting that with these type of data, we'll be able to make really important headway in terms of genetic discoveries. And to the point where we can predict for the individual what types of disorders they're vulnerable for and also what types of interventions might be best for them to limit certain conditions. So this could be cancers, various cancers. It could be cardiovascular disease. It could be diabetes, conditions that really impact veterans.
So will this be the type of information that when the young folks sign up for the military, for instance, and you put them through a physical and you take their blood test, if they have certain conditions, they might be more vulnerable to cardiovascular disease or something else? Is it going to help you in that kind of way?
Yeah, it could. And we're not talking tomorrow. We're talking, you know, a decade or more off. But yes, the idea is that we'll understand enough about the genetic mechanisms of different medical conditions that we'll be able to predict these conditions, not with absolute certainty because you can't control the environment, but with enough certainty that we can apply interventions to help these people.
So you might be able to identify folks that are predisposed to certain conditions.
Yep.
And then do you expect that this will give you enough information to do some preventative type treatment of those folks?
Down the road, indeed. That's the goal. And that's one of the most important ways in which the health and welfare of veterans will be improved. So, you know, instead of treating someone after a heart attack or after tumors appear, interventions will be able to be applied that will prevent the heart attack or prevent the tumors from occurring.
And I would guess then that the reason you're doing this through the VA medical care system is you've got a whole group of veterans who have something in common, and you've got a lot of good data on them in terms of what kind of shape they're in. And so then if you do the blood testing, you've got a good group, don't you?
Exactly. The VA system is really an ideal system for these types of large studies. And so it just makes sense to do it in this system. We already have a cooperative studies program, which helps coordinate this type of research activity across medical centers.
And then once you have all that data and you've studied it, then you're going to share some of that information with the Pentagon and with the military, I'm sure.
I don't work at that level, but I assume that that's what's going to happen.
Doctor, can you tell us once again, if people want to join this program and sign up, where do they go, and what numbers can they call?
Yeah, certainly. So the national number to enroll in this program, and once again, it's all voluntary, and you can withdraw at any point. The national number is 1-866-441-6075, or you can go to the VA research webpage, which is research.va.gov, and just go to the MVP link on that page.
And Dr. Sponheim, any last thoughts for our listeners today about the Million Veteran Program?
It's just a wonderful opportunity for veterans to serve their country once again, and it promises to really have a significant impact on the health and welfare of maybe not you as the veteran today, but of future veterans.
Dr. Sponheim, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Scott Sponheim, a staff psychologist from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and an associate professor in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Minnesota. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. And now it's time for the mailbag. Joining us today is Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson. So let's look in the mailbag.
All right, Tom. Hi. Today we have a letter from Dennis. He writes, I am with the Rotary Club in Arden Hills. We would like to find a way to help. I was wondering if there's anyone who could come talk to us about your organization so we can assist and help the needs of military families.
A Rotary group speaker invitation. How often do you get that question?
You know, we do get that question a couple of times a month, and I always have the same answer, Tom, and it's not go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org. I even have a better answer for them. I tell them to connect with their local Yellow Ribbon networks, because in this case, in Arden Hills, there is a Yellow Ribbon network that is just getting started with a whole bunch of those little towns up there. Well, I shouldn't say little. Roseville's pretty big. Roseville, Maplewood, Falcon Heights, Shoreview, Arden Hills, they're all working together right now to put together a network. And they would love to have the Rotary be part of their Yellow Ribbon network. So really who this Rotary Club wants to come speak is the local people putting their program together. And another unique thing is that there's a church in Arden Hills called the North Heights Lutheran Church that goes above and beyond in their ministry to military families. And so the only way to find these things out is to go to your local family assistance center, because just like all these neat things are happening around Arden Hills, they're happening around the state. So if you go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and click on the Family Assistance Center tab, you can look up to see which is the closest family assistance center to you, and it's okay if you just call the first one on the list. That's fine, too. They'll all help you out. In this case, I asked Dennis to call Brooklyn Park, and the Brooklyn Park Family Assistance Center can link him into those Yellow Ribbon networks right in his area.
And Melanie, what are some of the things the Rotary will be able to do for the local group?
So many things, Tom. I mean, you know, we talked about volunteering. They can be out there shoveling snow and raking leaves. They, I understand, raise money in their Rotary Club. So the money that they raise can be used for things for the local FRG group, local unit gatherings, for snacks. There's always a need for those kinds of things. And it's really special when they can help their neighbors. Another thing that Rotary Club will be able to do too, there is the Military Family Care Initiative website. You can link to it from my homepage at beyondtheyellowribbon.org. But there they can go sign up to do these things like snow shoveling and yard raking and things.
And one more time, our favorite website, Melanie?
BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org.
Melanie, thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
And if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us on Facebook and at the MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're just about out of time, but before we go, if you're a veteran looking for a job or an employer ready to hire our veterans, the American Legion has their Heroes to Hometowns Transition and Benefits Job Fair this Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Minneapolis Convention Center. The hiring fair is free for both veterans and employers. To sign up, we have a link on our Facebook page. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Major Aaron Krenz from Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, Dr. Scott Sponheim from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson for the mailbag, Commissioner Larry Shelladeau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us in person this Thursday at 1 o'clock p.m. at the Minnesota State Fair. We'll be recording next Sunday's show at News Talk 11:30 a.m. booth, with several guests from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, including Commissioner Larry Shelladeau. That's at the State Fair this Thursday at 1 o'clock or on the air Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.